You know, as we talk about this Renewed Mind series, as we talk about realigning our minds with the divine, the only person that's really mad about this is the enemy. It's the devil, because the enemy doesn't want you and I to renew our minds. He doesn't want us to be in a position where we recognize that we have the power, and we have the dominion to actually change the destiny and the very courses of our lives. As we go through this series, and as we're talking about these particular principles about the renewing of the mind, I really pray that it's resonating with you. Because again, champions, nothing happens in our life without us first renewing our minds. I mean, when we want real change in our life, when we want real concrete changes, we have to begin with that renewed mind. And so with that said and done, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then, you know, we'll kick back and we'll talk about what we want to talk about this morning. I hope you brought your pencil and your paper. A lot of things we're going to cover this morning, specifically the three key areas. I really want to get to those, the three key areas of the renewed mind. So if you would, if you're with your families, with your friends, if you're, some of you guys are having a Facebook listening party. That's cool. I kind of feel like an artist, you know what I'm saying? Or we having a release party, you know what I'm saying? We're listening party. But let's just pray real quick and then we'll just get started. Father, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, I honor you for the divine opportunity to come before your people. I thank you, Father God, for those that are gathering, both near and far, from the east, from the west, from the north and from the south. I thank you for this time of refreshing, this time, Lord God, where we can renew our minds and align our thoughts with your thoughts. Thank you that this Sunday morning, there's a day that you have made and we'll be glad and rejoice in it. We honor you, Father God, for what it is that you are teaching us and what you're sharing with us. And Father God, we just praying for this country. We're praying for this world all around, those that are being affected directly and indirectly with this coronavirus. We realize that it's putting a lot of strain on a lot of families, God. But God, we thank you that you are El Elyon, that God, you are El Roy, that you are still Jehovah Jireh. You are still Jehovah Nissi, that you are still covering your people, that you are still a protector, that you are still a provider, that God, you are still in control in midst of all of this that's going on. And so we just thank you, Father God, as we submit ourselves to your spirit, as we submit ourselves, Lord God, on this beautiful Sunday morning, Lord God, underneath the beautiful blue skies, Lord, just to share with your people as they are there in their homes, that they are gathering, Lord God, just to sit at your feet. Thank you for your word. We take dominion over the kingdom of darkness on this morning. And we thank you, Father God, that we stand on top with all things under our feet. Thank you that, Lord God, we stand as champions in this arena called life, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And so we continually speak health, we continually speak healing, we continually speak strength, we continually speak your blessings upon your people, Father God. That even when anxiety tries to attack people's mind, Father God, that, Lord God, we thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding. We glorify you, Lord God, that even though we may feel hemmed in, we are yet hopeful in you. And we recognize that this hope does not disappoint. For that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Well, this morning, I'm encouraged, saints, because I realize that God has got us in this series for quite some time with the renewed mind, and we've been in this for quite some time. And, you know, we got a couple more weeks, a couple more Sundays before we reach our Resurrection Sunday. And if the Lord said the same and everything is equal, we can come back together physically, and we can come back together collectively as a body here in real life and continue on with what God has for us. You know, I'm praying that again, as we gear ourselves up though for that particular day, that you and I are really taking advantage of the time that is being pressed upon us to really kind of reevaluate our thoughts, as Eldris would say, you know, think about what we're thinking about. Because again, we want to come out of this this season of isolation, so to speak, stronger. Stronger in our thinking, stronger in our relationship with God, stronger in our relationship with others. You know, many of you are you getting tired of yourself? You know what I'm saying? You're getting bored with yourself, all right? But that's a good thing, because it allows us to really begin to think about what we're thinking about and really take control to begin to shape the destiny of our life. Over the last several weeks, we have been talking, I'm gonna turn that off real quick, but over the last several weeks, we have been talking about the renewed mind and how the renewed mind is when you and I realign our thoughts with God's thoughts. Because we know God says in his word that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so if you would, go with me to the book of Ephesians. You know, that's basically where we're going to start. And then, of course, we'll go into Romans as well. But the book of Ephesians, and I might stand up, I might sit down. All right? But the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the body of Christ about, again, the fivefold ministries. All right? But at the same time, I love what he says in verse 15. And let's just start there. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into all things, who is the head, and that is Christ. And then he goes on in verse 17, and he says, and this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you and I should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the fealty or the futility of their minds. And again, we know that the Gentiles are just the representation of those who have been unregenerated, those who have been unsaved. All right, those who we were all in some way a Gentile. We were all in some way unregenerated in our thinking, unregenerated in our mind. But Paul is making the emphasis and says, I don't want y'all to keep walking like that. Or I don't want y'all to keep copying the behavior like that. I don't want you to keep thinking like that. All right. In verse 18, he says, and having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. And all of us in some way have been ignorant of something, all right? And ignorance is not necessarily a bad thing, but ignorance is really the veil that has been placed upon our ability to see something. And as we go through this, as we go through this renewed mind, you'll understand that the renewed mind, God allows, when we renew our minds, he allows the veil of ignorance to be lifted in a specific area. He allows the veil of ignorance, whatever that area is that we want our minds to, or that we are thinking about, when we position ourselves to renew our minds, God allows that veil of ignorance to be lifted. And you'll see that a little later on as we talk about this again. So we said, he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who in past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But I love verse 20. He goes on to say, champions, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. You that have been born again. You that have been regenerated. You that have been regened with the gene of God to think like God and speak like God and walk like God and talk like God. You haven't learned that through Christ. And I love that. It gives us reassurance that when we, again, position ourselves to realign our minds with the divine, not only can we think like God, but we can talk like God, and we can begin to walk like God, and we can begin experiencing the blessings and the best that God has for us. All right. Verse 21, it says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 22 and verse 23. He says, and that you put off the former conduct, or that you throw away the former attitudes or the former behavior. What is that? The behavior of the world, the behavior of the Gentiles, the behavior of someone who hasn't been saved, someone who does not have the capacity, so to speak, to think like God. And remember, when you and I are born again, all right, the Bible says old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. But I love what he says again, verse 22, but put off the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt, the old man is growing corrupt. And would you put this in your notes? And I put it in mind because I wanted to make sure we share that to you. But do you not know that a mind that is dedicated to the world and its concerns will produce a life that is tossed back and forth, watch this, by the concerns of the current culture? So a mind that is constantly consumed, all right, and dedicated to the concerns of the world. It doesn't mean that we are not necessarily understanding what the times are, but we don't want to be so dedicated with the concerns of our world, because our minds will be tossed to and fro, and then it will be weighted down with all of the cultures that surround us. All right. But I love verse 23, and that's what we're going to get into. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, be refreshed, have a constant betterment of how you think and your attitudes in the spirit of your mind. So over the last several weeks, we talked about what the renewed mind is. So let's define it. What is the renewed mind? We said it's simply the purposeful and intentional realigning of our thoughts with God's thoughts. It's us being able to say, you know what, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And we understand that the importance of a renewed mind is what happens when we want change in our life. All right? It's what happens whenever we see a situation or a circumstance that we want to be altered and changed. All right? It starts when we begin to renew our minds. So the importance of the renewed mind is so critical, because remember, God is not as concerned about changing our circumstances as he is in changing our minds. And when we take control of our thoughts, we actually take control of our destiny. All right. Who should be renewing their minds? Everybody. All right. Why should you renew your mind? Because you don't like what you see. All right. I mean, let's just be straight up. If you don't like what you see, you can actually renew your mind. And again, champions, we don't want to say that the renewed mind is an easy thing. It takes work. It's going to take some. It's going to take some discipline. All right. But it's something that you and I are capable of doing, and it's something that we can accomplish. So again, whenever we want change in our life, it starts with a renewed mind. And watch this. The renewed mind is not necessarily gathering facts. It's not just gathering information. All right. The renewed mind is simply getting to the subconscious. It's the underbelly of what it is that we're actually thinking. And remember, our mind is the collective consciousness and unconscious. It's deprived of two areas, the conscience and the unconscious. And we really live out of our lives what's in that unconscious realm, or that subconscious realm. So that's why the scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'm going to stand up just a little because I'm feeling pretty good. But when you and I begin to wonder why we do what we do, it's because something has gotten into the subconscious of our minds. And again, the what we see is the conscience. But when we really want to change our lives, we have to go beyond the what we see and get down to the why are we doing that. All right. So again, when we talk about the renewed mind, we want to understand that the renewed mind is not just simply gathering facts, because there are many people gathering facts all around the country and nothing's changing. I mean, there are people doing all kinds of things and nothing really is changing in their own life. And why is that? Because the subconscious, or the underbelly of our minds, have not actually been renewed. And that's what happens, and that's how change happens, is when we take God's word and we take the information or the truth of God's word and we replace it for the truth that we've held. All right? That's when change begins to happen. And no, it's not easy. And no, watch this, it's not overnight. But it is possible for us to renew our minds. So over the hopefully next week, we will also be able to talk about shattering some of the strongholds, shattering strongholds in our lives. All right. Let me just read my notes here. Again, the renewed mind is when we begin to think soberly about our own life and our own selves. Okay. And we said that regeneration is instant, but the renewed mind is progressive. So it's not a one-time event. It's an event. It's something that we're constantly doing. Amen. So again, the renewing of the mind, we also said the renewing of the mind is how God manifests his glory on the earth. All right. Remember when Jesus was talking to us, his disciples, and he asked him, who does men say that I am? And then some said this and some said that and some said that. Right. And then he looked at his disciples. He said, but who do you say that I am? What was he really asking him is, who do you really think that I am? What is the real truth about it is? And Peter stepped up with the great epiphany. And we'll talk about those epiphanies on next week if the Lord said the same. But he came up with the great epiphany of thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. Or in other words, that didn't come from your carnal or worldly mind. That came from a renewed mind. That came from a subconscious truth that has been put in there. And what did Jesus say? He says, because of this great epiphany that you've had, Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And watch this. And I love what he says there. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, the gates of hell can't prevail against you and I who choose to have our minds renewed, who choose to say, you know what? I'm going to take the truth. I'm going to take the lie and replace it with the truth. I'm going to take the pressures of the world and I'm going to take what the world says and I'm going to replace it with what God says. And I'm not just going to put it on the what I'm hearing. I'm going to put it on the underneath or the subconscious. Amen. So again, when we renew our minds, it is God's way of manifesting his glory on the earth. And when you look at that same scripture, champion, Matthew chapter 16, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but y'all know how I do. All right. But when you look at that chapter, that's when you'll see Jesus said, upon this renewal of the mind, the gate, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, when you and I make up in our minds to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, nothing in hell can stop us. Amen. Nothing in hell can stop you because you are actually reprogramming your own life. You are actually reprogramming and taking control of your destiny. And I love what he goes on to say there, champions. He says, and watch this, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on what? Earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what is Jesus talking about? He's showing us that the importance of the renewed mind is what we should build off of our lives. And when our minds are renewed, watch this, nothing can stop us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. Amen? So we know that when we have this great epiphany, it has a way of transforming us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I love it, not just bodies, but our soul, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our what? Our reasonable service. And I love verse 2 says, and be not conformed or take your cues from the world, but be ye transformed. And that word we know transform simply means what? Metamorpho. It means a changing of the mind. It means that it's kind of like when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. The Bible says that his clothes was radiant. And that's symbolic of the renewed mind, because the renewed mind actually begins to radiate the reality of another world. It illuminates. So when our minds are renewed, the veil of ignorance is lifted. And then we can actually begin to see the truth and take the truth and replace what we thought was truth with the real truth. And therefore, watch this. From the inside out, we begin to get transformed. All right, we begin to be anew. That's why when you get saved, it's so important, champions, that you and I not just give our lives to the Lord, our heart to the Lord, but that we are consciously renewing our mind daily. It's one of the reasons why it's good to be in a good Bible-based church. Shout out to Joel Osteen. It'll take you places that you never dreamed of. All right? So again, when we talk about being transformed, we're talking about being changed from within. All right? And that's where true change happens. It changes when you and I decide, you know what? I'm looking at what I'm seeing in my life, and I've been given the ability to actually change it. All right? And again, it's not necessarily for us to go after our husbands or our wives or go after our significant others, because it's not upon you to renew their mind. It's upon them to renew their own mind. And when we take ownership of our own mind in our own situations, that's when we begin to see change or transformation happen. Amen. So that's why he says, don't be conformed to the world or take your cues off the world. And we know that the world is a what? It's a system that excludes God in its thinking. Amen. So it's a world that has been shielded, or the veil of ignorance has constantly been put upon them. All right. And God doesn't want us to take our cues, but he says, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. So we know that the renewed mind works in conjunction, right, with heaven realities, all right, so that they are manifested here on the earth. And we truly give place through unseen realities through our thoughts. So again, we want to make sure that our thoughts or our mindset, all right, is right concerning situations that we're facing. All right, that we're facing. So let me just get to this. We know that the three benefits of the renewed mind, we simply said that the renewed mind allows us to change the perspective of how we see ourselves, right? When you and I have a renewed mind, it changes the perspective of how we see ourselves, and it also changes or alters the perception or understanding of how we see a situation. And then when our minds are renewed, the third benefit is that now we've placed ourselves in a position to receive more from God. Because remember, the renewed mind is the beginning. It's the ignition of change in our lives. And that's why God harpers so much on us having our minds renewed. Over the last several weeks, we talked about, again, that the mind is renewed when we apply it in three areas. Number one, we must feed our mind. Say that with me. I must feed my mind. All right. Looked at a program the other day with Jael. It's a great program entitled Heal on Netflix. And it talked about, again, what we feed ourselves. And not only just what we feed ourselves spiritually, but what we feed ourselves physically. It really does have a way of affecting our minds. And so we want to make sure that we're feeding ourselves the right nutrition. We're feeding ourselves the nutritious value of God's word. We're feeding ourselves the necessary food that God wants us to have. So again, we want to be careful of what we're feeding ourselves. All right. Job chapter 23 verse 12. I love what he says. He says, "I have treasured your words more than my necessary food." And so again, even looking at the science behind what we feed ourselves, what we put in our bellies, actually affect our physical mind. So if we're putting more junk food in, and not just junk food, but spiritual junk food or worldly junk food, it's going to have a way of affecting how we think. So you and I want to be careful. We want to make sure that we're feeding our minds the right things. I like Proverbs 15 and 14. It says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, but while a fool feeds on trash. And we don't want to go dumpster diving, as Sister Nina would say. All right. We don't want to dumpster dive spiritually, and we don't want to be dumpster diving physically. All right. Especially in this time that God has us kind of shut in, we want to make sure that we're feeding ourselves the right thing. Because whatever you put into your gut physically is going to affect your mind physically. So whatever we put into our spiritual gut is going to affect our spiritual mind. And again, we're not legalistic. You need to be determined. And man, if your mind is going awry or crazy, check what you're feeding yourself. Check what we're feeding ourselves. Proverbs 15 and 14 in the Passion Translation version, it says, "Lovers of God hunger for truth, while those who without understanding feast on foolishness." I like another version, Proverbs 14 and 33. It says, "Wisdom soothes the heart of the one who is living with understanding, but the fool feeds on folly." So wisdom feeds the heart with those who are living with understanding. What is that understanding? A divine perception or a renewed mind that God's going to take care of me. So I'm soothed with that fact. So I don't have to worry about, you know, what's going on all around me when I recognize that God is working within me. Okay. And again, champions, that really is a matter of what are we feeding ourselves? What are we feeding ourselves? And then we talked about again, not only the focal, not only the three factors is feeding ourselves, but we must be purposeful or intentional about freeing our minds, right? And we said on Wednesday that we want to free our minds from four specific areas, all right? Freeing our minds from what? Sin. All right. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, well, I'll just drop all the way back down to verse 32 and then we'll go to 36. But verse 32, he says in John chapter 8, verse 32, he says, and you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Right. And then verse 36, he goes on, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Jesus makes a correlation, again, of what we're feeding ourselves and what we should free our minds from. If we're feeding ourselves the truth of God's word, if we're feeding ourselves the nutritious value of God's word, and we're nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, our will, and our intellect, then once we get this truth, watch this, not only will that settle our spirit, but it will allow us to be free our minds from the sin that tries to bog us down, okay? Free our minds from the mistakes that we may have made. Free our minds from the sin that tries to keep us in bondage, right? So we want to free our minds from sin. I like Galatians 5 and 1. It says, freedom is what we have, and Christ has set us free. So we stand therefore as what? Free people, not slaves no more. We're free. So we're intentional about freeing our minds from sin, and we don't allow ourselves to become slaves again, right? Slaves of the past, slaves of sin. And again, we said again, just because we're saved doesn't mean that we are sinless, because no one is perfect but Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a stronger amen? Amen? Okay, that's why we look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. No one is perfect. But when you and I get saved, or we give our life to Jesus Christ and we are renewing our minds, we also are renewing our minds to recognize that because we're saved and we have a new nature, that we sin less. Again, sin less. We are not dominated by sin as, watch this, those who have their understanding darkened. We're not dominated by the world. We sin less. So again, we are intentional about freeing our minds from sin. We are intentional champions about freeing our minds from Satan. All right. I like the scripture that decrees and declares 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. It says again, and I'll just read it from the expanded version. It says, the devil who rules this world, or the god of this age, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. So for people to say, I don't believe in the devil, well, he's already blinded their mind, right? The reality is there is either or. And we have to recognize that the battleground for our life is in our minds. That's where the enemy tries to get to. And either God wants our minds or the enemy wants our minds. And so again, when our minds are not being renewed, remember, champions, we said that it's automatically going to be at war with God. So we must be intentional, or we must be purposeful about what we feed in ourselves, right? Or mindful about what we feed in ourselves, and be intentional about freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds from Satan's grip over our life. Because it says right here, again, in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, that the devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So when you and I are facing a situation where we don't know, either see a way out, or we don't know how it's going to work out, all we got to do is make sure that we're tapping into our belief system in that situation. Because if the enemy can get us to discount or not believe in what God is doing, that's when he can bring the veil of ignorance in our life. And watch this. darken our lives and then alienate us from the life of God. So we want to be intentional about freeing our minds from Satan. It goes on to say, the Satan who has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so that they cannot, look here, so that they cannot see, coming out of 2 Corinthians 4:4, so that they cannot see or perceive the light of the good news. Why does Satan want to take our, why does he want to darken our minds? So that we don't see the light of the good news. Or so that we don't put confidence in what God said versus what the world is saying. And again, as God's people, you and I want to have that confidence in God and confidence in what he's saying. And when we don't, or when that's rattled, Satan can get in there and bring a veil or a cloud of ignorance. And we don't want that. All right. I like what the Living Bible says. It says, Satan, who is the god of this evil world. Now, none of us Christians in our right minds, no believer in their right mind, would like to think that they're being ruled and dominated by Satan. But when you and I are not allowing God to, for our minds to be realigned, that's the motorcycle going by. Right? But when you and I refuse, let's put it that way, when you and I refuse to realign our minds with the divine, we're giving Satan or enemy, we're giving him permission to rule our lives. And when that happens, watch this, the dark clouds of situations will come. And if we're not trusting in God to take care of us or shining the light on the darkness, we will have more confidence in the things that are around us as opposed to the light that's within us. All right. If you're watching the movie I Am Legend, I watched that a while back ago for the first time. I actually paid attention to the movie. This time, I guess because I'm in this situation. But at the end of the movie, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it just says simply, make sure that you bring light into the darkness, or turn the light on in the darkness. And that's what you and I need to do when it's time for us to renew our minds, or when it's time for us to see some change. If we feel ourselves getting overwhelmed by what is out there that's dark, then we just want to go there and turn the light on. What does that mean? Renew the mind. Allow the veil of ignorance to be lifted. All right, take control back from Satan. Again, intentionally freeing our minds from Satan's domain. So we want to be mindful of what we're feeding ourselves. We want to be intentional, again, champions, about freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds, again, from Satan's control, because Satan don't have no control. All right, he only has control when we give him permission. That's the only reason he'll have control. Just like he can't make us think a certain way, he can only influence us, all right? Just like God will not make us think a certain way, God will just influence us. You and I have to be in control of what it is that we're putting in the ground of our mind, okay? So not only are we mindful of what we're feeding, we're intentional champions about, again, freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds from Satan, and then freeing our minds, what we said, from our surroundings. Okay, you and I can be free to free our minds from our surroundings. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in the Message Bible. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And we already know that the three levels of learning are what? Our culture, our philosophy, and our theology. So again, wherever we're coming from, we've all taken something from our culture that's around us. And again, I'm not saying that your culture may be bad or whatever the case may be. All of us have had things placed into our subconscious that direct our lives, that direct how we think. All right? Many of us, matter of fact, everybody has been affected by their culture. But what God wants us to do is, again, take what we've learned, shape our philosophy, but then grab a hold to theology, good theology, God theology, and ultimately take that theology, help it reshape our philosophy, and take it back down and change our culture. All right. But again, when we're freeing our minds from our surroundings, champion, we don't want to fit into our culture without even thinking. I like this. He said, instead, fix your attention on God and you will be changed from the what? Inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to you. And unlike the culture all around you, it says always dragging you down to their level of immaturity, God wants to bring out the best of you. So if you and I are not careful, our surroundings can cause us not to grow in the right way. They can cause us to grow in the wrong way, cause us to grow in more fear, cause us to grow in more doubt, cause us to grow in more unbelief, cause us to strengthen the veil of ignorance that the enemy wants to place in our minds. And so when you and I are not intentional about freeing our minds from sin and not intentional about freeing our minds from Satan's control, he places that veil of ignorance, right, upon us. And therefore now we are more dictated from our surroundings than what God has said. And so God doesn't want us to be dictated so much from our surroundings versus what he says. So we must be intentional about freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds from Satan, freeing our minds from surroundings, right? All right. And again, not all surroundings is bad. You have to evaluate the surroundings that you're in. Okay. I'm not saying all your surroundings are bad. So, you know, that don't mean you don't need necessarily to go and cut off everybody. But it does mean that you want to evaluate your surroundings, whether that surroundings is at work, whether that surroundings is at home, whether that surroundings, watch this, is within yourself. Because that's the last thing that we want to be intentional about, is freeing our minds from ourselves. And if we're not careful, we can surround ourselves with doubt. We can surround ourselves with fear, doubt, and unbelief. You know, and we can get a hold of some things that we're feeding off of that doesn't fuel our faith, but only fuels our fear. And when that happens, the veil of understanding or the veil of ignorance comes upon us. And watch this. What does Jesus say? Now we're given permission for the gates of hell to attack us and prevail us. So you and I have to understand that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have to renew our minds with the divine and say, okay, I'm going to be mindful of what I'm feeding myself. I'm going to be, watch this, intentional about freeing my mind. What am I freeing my mind from? We're freeing our mind from sin. When you and I are saved, we're no longer in sin. We've been catapulted to a new way of thinking. We have the permission to think a new way. And then we're freeing our minds again from our surroundings. And again, not all surroundings are bad. Remember, you know, we just want to evaluate our culture. Find out why it's affecting our philosophy or our way of thinking, and then go up to the highest level and get some good theology, God theology. And then take that theology, help it to reshape our philosophy so we can go back down and change our culture, okay? Whether that culture is around us or, watch this, the culture is in us, okay? Because many times we can talk ourselves out of, or we can limit ourselves in, or we can box ourselves in. And sometimes I just truly believe that even if there wasn't a Satan, some people will still have a problem, right? And don't get it twisted. You know, the enemy is definitely the enemy, but I think a lot of times we give him too much credit, right? There are things that you and I can control that we have given over to the enemy. There's some things within ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 in the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 in the Living Bible, Paul says the smallness that we feel comes from within. So we want to be free even sometimes from ourselves. And I know that with this shed-in, really the only person you got to deal with when it's all said and done is you. Okay, but if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we can be by ourselves and we can be boxing ourselves in. All right, we can be assisting the enemy, and we don't want to assist him. That's why when thoughts come to our mind that are not like God, or thoughts come to our mind when we feel like, again, we're hemmed in, we got to remain hopeful. Like David, we got to encourage ourselves in the Lord, right? Because when we don't do that, what happens is the veil of ignorance is placed upon us, as the scripture says, and then we begin to alienate ourselves from the life of God. And again, I'm not talking about your brothers and your sisters or anybody else. We're talking about, God, how do you change my mind? How do you change me in this situation? If I'm having difficulties in my relationships or my marriage or my job, it's not a, God, what's happening out there. God, what's happening in me? Right? What's going on with me? And when I allow God, watch this, when we position ourselves, I hope I'm helping you, champion, but when we position ourselves and say, God, it's me standing in the need of prayer, let me free myself from my own thoughts. Let me free myself from my own surroundings. Let me free myself from Satan trying to get a foothold and bringing that, strengthening that stronghold because a pattern of stinking thinking. A pattern of thinking that permeates from me that gives an aroma that either the angels of heaven are hearkening to or the, watch this, the demons of hell are hearkening to. And so that's why it's so necessary too, champions, that even while we're in this isolation time, that you and I don't allow depression to try to set in. We don't allow discouragement to try to set in. I'm not saying that we're not going to be affected by it, but when we allow that to set in, remember, it's getting to the conscious mind so it can try to seep to the unconscious mind. And what happens? We sit in our own areas, woe is me, I'm undone, in a sense, when we can just truly change that. I like this saying that if I can find it in here. It says, when patterns of thought develop, let me just make sure I get this right. Y'all know I'm all over the place, but I want to get it right today. It says, okay. There's a saying that I got from that piece that we watched yesterday, and it so resonated with me. Because remember, guys, when we're intentional about freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds from Satan's grip on us, freeing our minds, because we can free our minds, okay? Free our minds from our surroundings and then free our minds from ourselves. If we're not careful, the enemy will allow this time of isolation that causes us to be so boxed in with our own thoughts, and if we don't check them, those thoughts, watch this, can limit us from receiving and being all that God wants us to be. And we can, and watch this, think about it. I mean, really think about it. God has given us permission to spend time to get ourselves together. I mean, think about that. People ain't got to go to work, right? People ain't got to go to school, in a sense. I mean, and I get it. You know, it's challenging, it's tough. But when you have the luxury, when we have the luxury, guys, of being able to spend time to get ourselves in line with what God wants us to come out, we truly can come out of this thing better. I like, there's a phrase that she says in there. She says, we need to, when the internal picture of illness tries to set in, we can exchange it with an internal picture of wellness. So when you and I are by ourselves, as we will be, we have to check the embers of, we got to check what our thinking is. And if depression starts to set in, change that picture. Grab the remote and change that channel. Pull that thought down and bring it where? To the obedience, and bring it in captivity and the obedience of Christ. So that, watch this, we are not alienating ourselves from the life of God, but that we are experiencing the life of God. And yes, we might be in this shut in or this isolation for a longer period of time. You know what? Okay, bring it. You know why I say that? Because the Bible says, and y'all, I hope y'all following me though, but the scripture says in Titus chapter 2, all right, verse 15 and 16, or 1, Titus 1, verse 15 and 16, it says, to the good, all things are pure, but to the evil, or those who have their mind darkened, they can't see nothing good. All right, they don't see no way out. And Josephine, I know you'll like this one, because we talk again about that RAS, the reticular activating system. So you know how champion is. If you never had a white car, just using it for an example, and then all of a sudden you go buy a white car. Now all of a sudden you see all these white cars everywhere you go, right? It's because that's the part of the brain called the reticular activating system, or the RAS, all right, that is activated. So again, it's just like when people who are focused, and that's my third point, focused on the negative, all they see is negative. Everything is negative. Everything, there's no silver lining. Honey, there is a silver lining. All right? But if you're feeding yourself the wrong information, watch this, and you and I are not intentional champions about freeing our minds from the bondage of sin, because sin darkens everything we see. And then we give our control over to Satan instead of God. And then we don't check our surroundings, all right? And then we don't free our minds even from ourselves. Sometimes you got to take yourself to the spiritual woodshed and say, wait a minute, what the heck am I thinking? Because when you start to speak doubt, fear, and unbelief, what's happening? That stinking thinking starts to attract flies. And then what happens? Your reticular activating system, or your RAS, starts to focus on all negative, or all doubt, or all fear. And we have to be intentional about focusing and interrupting that thought on the right thing. So we can take the internal picture of illness, or the internal picture of sickness, or the internal picture that the enemy would try to put in there, and we can exchange it. There's a saying that a guy says a while back ago, and I don't know who it says, but it says if you're watching something and you don't like what you're seeing, you can get up and change the channel. And that's the same way with our minds, champion. So as we are in this renewing of the mind series, as we are dismantling strongholds, patterns of thinking that are outside the realm of God's truth, because that's what a stronghold is, right? As we are either inviting good things to come into our life or bad things to come into our life. Remember, we have the control, the mind is the control center of life, right? It's the gateway, it's the access. Thank you for allowing me to get to this, but it's the access. But as we are in these isolation period, let us be intentional. Let us be mindful. Let's put it that way. Let's be mindful of what we're feeding ourselves. Okay? And again, feeding ourselves spiritually, and what we're feeding ourselves naturally. All right? All right? We don't have to eat everything in the refrigerator. Right? We don't have to eat everything in the cupboard because we bored. Just because it's there. Right? This is a time where even we can feed ourselves some serenity. We can feed ourselves some peace of mind by going on the back porch or going for a long walk. We can feed our soul. We can feed ourselves something good. But while we're feeding ourselves, guys, we also want to be intentional that we can free our minds. Free our minds from the sin that tries to keep us in our past, that tries to hold us back. Okay? Free our minds from Satan's domain, his grip, to try to, watch this, to try to prevail against the church by strengthening the veil of ignorance, by strengthening the veil of darkening understanding. And that's why Jesus said, no, Peter, Satan, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is heaven has what? Revealed the truth. Okay? It's not a new truth when God reveals something to us. It's always been there. It just is, the veil has been darkened. So when our minds are renewed, watch this. What is God doing? He's lifting the veil. When we position ourselves, he's lifting the veil of ignorance so that we are able to see the situation for what it is. All right? And we are not like the 10 spies who only saw the bad report. We are like the two, like Caleb, who had a different spirit. And said, you know what? We can go up at once and we can take this land. We can go up at once and we can possess this land. We can go up at once and we can get what God wants us to get. And watch this. I don't care what everybody else is saying or what everybody else is seeing. I see something different. The veil of ignorance has been lifted off of me. I'm not walking in a darkened understanding. I'm not walking in a dark light. I'm seeing it the way God sees it. I'm speaking it the way God is speaking it. Therefore, I'm walking it out the way God wants me to walk it out. And watch this. I might not be able to see how God is going to bring me out, but I know I'm going to keep walking this thing out. I mean, if you ever thought about it, if you're in a storm, if you notice, if you just keep driving, what happens? You'll pass through that storm. Right? So no matter what we face, champions, no matter what we go through, it's when we learn to realign our minds with the divine. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not my ways. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. Watch this. In all of my ways, I'm acknowledging him. When I'm by myself, I'm acknowledging him. If I don't hear a word from somebody else, I got a word from God. I'm acknowledging him. Why? Because that light that's shining in darkness is going to lift me from the despair. It's going to change the channel of depression. It's going to change the channel of sickness. It's going to change the channel of disease or dis-ease in the mind. It's going to change the channel. And when I change the channel, not only I'm speaking different, I'm walking different, I'm talking different, my confidence is back. Right? Because my confidence is not in me, it's in God. So again, champions, we want to be mindful of what we're feeding ourselves. We want to be intentional about freeing our minds. Freeing ours from what? Sin. Freeing our minds from Satan. I can't say it enough. Free our minds again from our surroundings. All right? My goodness. Free our minds from our surroundings. And then free our minds from, y'all already know it, ourselves. Because sometimes we can put ourselves in the way. And God says, I need you to get out of the way you've been thinking. And I need you to get in the way I'm thinking. And when you get in the way that I'm thinking, I'm gonna give you some liberty. Write this down just for your notes. Isaiah 26 and 3, right? He says, I will keep them in perfect peace. Whose what? Minds is stayed on him. Right? So whenever your peace is being shaken, check your mindset. Whenever your peace is being disturbed, check your mindset. Because he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace whose minds is stayed on him. But God, I'm going through so much. Don't worry about it. You still can put your mind on Jesus. God, I'm dealing with so many things. No problem. Get in the center of the storm. Let me be in the center there with you. Because just like this storm has come, it has not come to stay. It has come to pass. But it's what you and I are learning in the midst of this. It's what we are gaining in the midst of this, right? That's going to be the difference maker. That's why Paul said in Ephesians, he says, but you have not so learned this in Christ. And so, again, renewing our minds, champion, is more than just getting a couple of scriptures and trying to put them together. It's more than just gaining information. It's when we have the ultimate epiphany that thou art the Christ. In whatever my situation is, thou art the Christ. Whatever I'm facing, thou art the Christ. Whatever I'm going through, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when we have that spiritual epiphany, right, we have the keys to the kingdom. God has given us the keys to the kingdom. And what is that? What we feed on, freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds from Satan, freeing our minds from our surroundings, freeing our minds from ourselves. And then now, watch this, we get to that third key and we begin to focus our minds. We focus our mind. Like I'm focusing on you right now. We begin to focus our mind. Got 5 minutes left. But we want to begin to focus our mind. And would you write this down? Proverbs 4 and 23. I'm sorry. Proverbs 4 and 25. Matter of fact, the whole book of Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm just going to go to my notes real quick because I want to make sure you got it. But the Proverbs chapter 4, if I can find this, hold on, I want to get it to you. I've got 4 minutes. Hey, right, let me know in your comments if this is really being a blessing to you, okay? If this is really being a blessing to you. But I'm going to close on this one, and then we're going to pick up again next week where we left off. Kind of got excited, but we'll pick up next week where we left off. But go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27 is so wonderful, all right? As you are meditating, as you are spending time with God this week, champions, as you are, as God is allowing us another luxury of not having to go to work in a sense or having to stay home so that we can refresh our spiritual batteries. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 27 is a greatly digest. Because again, he talks about all the areas of that renewed mind. Talks about what we're feeding on. I want you to hear it. Talks about what we should be focusing on. I'm sorry, what we should be freeing our minds from and then what we focus on. All right, I'm gonna let this car pass. Cool. So look at verse 20. It says, my son or my daughter, give attention, what he's saying, put your mind somewhere. Give attention to my words. This is what I want you to feed off of. And then he says, incline your ear to my sayings. Do you see that? So verse 20, he's already telling us what to feed off of, where to put our minds on. Okay, verse 20, 21. And do not let them depart from your eyes. So again, he's dealing with the mind. He's dealing with what you should not only focus on, but what you should be feeding on. Look at verse 22. For they are life to those who find them. What's life? The truth. What's life? The word. What's life? What God is saying versus what the world is saying. We don't alienate ourselves from the life of God. Oh my goodness, this is good. And yeah, I might have to get my own tape, CD.
Eight track.
Get my own 8-track. You know what I'm saying? Right. Verse 21. I want to let you guys go. All right. But it says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Get them in your subconscious. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But look at verse 20. Look at verse 22. For they are light to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep them with all diligence within your heart, for out of them flow the issues of life. Look at verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. What is he saying? Watch what you're talking about. What's he saying? Watch what you're talking about. Because our thoughts produce words. Words produce actions. Actions produce what? Habits. Habits produce character. And character produces what? Destiny. So he says, again, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. He's showing us how to talk. And look at verse 25, though. He's showing us what to focus on. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. So here again, he's giving us the whole kit and caboodle in one particular verse. What we should feed on, what we should free our minds from, and then what we should be focusing on. And I like verse 26 and 27 as we begin to close. He says, and ponder the path of your feet. Or in other words, think about your path. In other words, think about, thank you, elders, what you're thinking about. Ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be established. And verse 27, and do not turn to the right or the left and remove your foot far from evil. So when we talk about the renewed mind, champions, we have to understand that God has given us the keys to the kingdom. And the renewed mind, the first key is, what are we feeding ourselves? The second key is, are we intentional about freeing ourselves? And the third key is, what are we focused on? Because if your RAS is on the negative, all you're going to see is negative. So you and I have to take control of those thoughts, bring them into captivity, and watch this, obedient to God's word. So again, let's be mindful, champions, as I close, of what we're feeding ourselves. Let's be intentional about freeing our minds from sin, freeing our minds from Satan, freeing our minds from our surroundings, freeing our minds from ourselves. And let us be also, watch this, purposeful about what we focus on. Amen. If this was a blessing to you, just give the Lord a hand praise. Give me a thumbs up on the Facebook. Hey, you know, heart, whatever. All right. But I do want to pray with you before I let you go. Thank you so much for being with us. Remember, next week, if the Lord said the same, we'll come back with you. And I do want to talk a little bit about dismantling strongholds. I want to start attacking the strongholds that keep people so bound, that keep us bound in life. And God's going to show us how we can actually dismantle those strongholds. All right. I hope to see you guys on Wednesday at our Real Life Table Talk. And I hope that you again are continuing to solicit your questions for Pastor Jay on Friday. Remember, Real Life at Comcast. No, Real Life Christian Center at Gmail. Real Life Christian Center at Gmail is where you want to submit your questions for Pastor Jay. And isn't she doing such a great job? She is doing a phenomenal job. She is handling business. All right. But again, let me just pray with you guys. Thank you so much, God, for all what you've said to us today. We ask that your blessings will be upon those who have chimed in, both from near and far, those who we know and those we don't know. I ask, God, that your word will continue to permeate their hearts, and that, Lord God, the engrafted word will just, they will receive the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. God, I thank you that as we have merits most our minds, as we have merits most ourselves, Lord, to receive you, that we are constantly realigning our minds with the divine. May you, God, give your people continued courage, continued strength, Lord God, as we again move through this season of isolation, that we again be mindful, Lord God, of what we're feeding ourselves, that we're intentional about being free from sin, free from Satan, free from our surroundings, free from ourselves, and that we are purposeful about what we're focused on. So again, I always speak and I always say that we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that we're blessed going in and blessed coming out. That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And because it is God, you have called us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us. And as a result, we do have a right to expect great things. For that, God, we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. I hope to see you guys soon. Remember, comment. I'm gonna take a moment and look at some stuff, and then I'll see you soon.